You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Covestor Radio, a show about money, milestones, and investing for your future. Once again, we are with Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covestor, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing. Today, Kimberly will be discussing mutual funds and its many fees. Kimberly, welcome once again to Covestor Radio.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. So leading off, what is a mutual fund?
So mutual funds are one of those things that we hear so much about, right? They're always in the newspaper. You hear about them, in different ads, and they're these ubiquitous investment vehicles that most of us have heard of, but few of us really understand. And one reason that I wanted to discuss mutual funds on the show today is that over 50% of American households own mutual funds. Often it's through a 401k plan, but over 50%, that's a big number. And Eric, you won't believe this. So according to the Investment Company Institute, okay, which is sort of the, one of the think tanks for mutual funds, at the end of the third quarter of last year of 2013, worldwide mutual fund assets totaled $29 trillion, trillion with a T, and there were over 75,000 mutual funds. So these are those are some big statistics. And simply stated, a mutual fund packages together a group of stocks or bonds and perhaps other assets, but primarily stocks and bonds, manages those securities and offers you the ability to buy them in a bundle. So a mutual fund pools the assets of its investors and invests the money on behalf of those investors. And, companies that issue these funds, there are a lot of household names like Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab.
Now, what are the benefits of mutual funds, taking it a little bit further?
Well, the underlying logic of mutual funds is that they provide individual investors diverse investments without requiring those investors to make separate purchases and separate trades. So because mutual fund investors are all pooling their assets together, what it does is it gives individual investors the chance to participate in the stock market, right, in a way that's not previously possible. So, for example, your mutual fund manager buys stock in Google, and he or she is doing it, at the mutual fund level, which means that each investor in the mutual fund is, by extension, also buying shares of Google, but they're buying, smaller fractional shares. But, I have to say that, mutual funds became so prominent because they did allow, individual investors to get more diversified portfolios. But now, there are a number of technological advances that have facilitated, other ways for investors with pools of capital to invest.
What are the typical costs associated with mutual funds?
So mutual funds have a lot of different types of costs, and not just, costs in terms of, opportunity cost of investment risk and, that sort of thing, but hard dollar costs. Basically, there are two types of mutual fund costs. The first type we're going to call annual fund operating expenses, and the second type are shareholder fees.
Today we are speaking with Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covestor, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing here on Covestor Radio, a show about money, milestones, and investing for your future here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, speaking of fees, why are fees so important to be aware of?
Well, the director of research at Morningstar, Morningstar is one of the largest companies that evaluates mutual funds. This gentleman, Russell Cannell, described the costs of mutual funds as the most dependable predictor of performance. The most dependable. And of course, the lower the fees you pay, the higher your return is going to be over time. Right? And nobody really knows what the market will do. People make predictions, but nobody knows for sure. And fees are something that you can control. You can't really, let's say legally, control market movements. And when investors tend to look at a fund's mutual fund's performance, they tend to focus on returns. But bear in mind that mutual fund returns are reported after fees are deducted. So you really want to be sure that you're looking at those fees as well, because they can have a big impact. So here's an example that from the Securities and Exchange Commission. So just say you invest $10,000 in a fund, and the fund yields 10% return before expenses. So if you're paying 1.5% in annual fees, your investment's going to grow to about $50,000 after 20 years. But if you lower your cost to 50 basis points, right, so rather than 1.5%, you're paying 50 basis points, the value of your investment is going to increase by another $10,000. That is meaningful.
Very meaningful. So an individual's mutual fund fees will be lower if they buy a no-load fund? Is that what you're saying?
You know, generally speaking, not always. So no-load funds don't carry sales charges, but they may charge other fees related to actions within the fund. So these other fees would be redemption fees, which are deducted from proceeds, you know, when shares are redeemed, exchange fees, switching fees, account fees. You may also be charged transaction fees or a commission for, you know, each time you buy or sell no-load funds. So you would hope that your overall fees are lower because you're buying a no-load fund, but you've really got to take a hard look, because there are a lot of other types of fees. And one thing, Eric, is that these fees are in addition to the fees that I mentioned earlier, right, the annual fund operating expenses, and also, you know, other types of shareholder fees.
So lastly, what would the average fees look like?
So if we look at research from the Investment Company Institute that was reported in the New York Times a little while ago, the average fees for a U.S. stock fund was 1.44%. 1.44%. Okay. And, you know, and then there are other types of funds, of course, you know, taxable bond funds, small cap equities, money markets. But let's just focus on that 1.44%. So let's put this number in perspective. So Schwab estimated that the long-term return of large cap stocks going forward is going to be about 6.3%. Okay, this is not a prediction. This is just, you know, Schwab's analysis. So 6.3%. So if you're paying 1.4% and your returns are 6.3%, I mean, that is taking out a huge percentage of potential return. And, you know, nothing in life is free, right? Of course, nothing in life is free. But, you know, to earn 6.3%, but then to pay, you know, 1.4%, it's just taking such a big percentage of the gains.
In closing, as always, any closing thoughts or a final tip on the topic of mutual funds and its fees associated?
Well, you know, a few different things. When we were talking about fees, we didn't talk about taxes. And, you know, Eric, I'm always harping on what's important for taxable investors, like most individuals, is what you keep at the end of the day after fees and taxes. So it also makes sense to evaluate the tax consequences of owning a particular mutual fund. The other thing, and this kind of relates to investor psychology and human behavior, but the search for the best mutual fund managers, you know, often leads clients to buy funds, you know, that are hot, right? You know, to buy hot funds at the top of a bull market. And this further reduces returns as, you know, people tend to buy high and sell low. So Morningstar estimated that the average large stock fund earned 4.5% a year in, you know, in the 15 years ended June of last year. Okay, so 4.5%. But the average investor, the person invested in that fund, only earned 2.6%. And that's because of the timing of purchases and sales. So the numbers that these mutual fund companies report are, you know, are the headline numbers, right? But again, what really matters is what your, you know, what your personal return is.
Well, Kim, if you would, how about telling our listeners where they can get more information in regards to Covestor?
Oh, Covestor.com.
Easy enough. Thanks so much for joining us once again here on Covestor Radio. Have a great week.
Thank you.
We've been speaking to, once again, Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covestor, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing. And we do thank you for joining us on this episode of Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. And for more information, once again, simply visit Covestor.com. Join us next time for another episode of Covestor Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, and this has been Eric Dye.
This is the ePodcast Network.